So, hello everybody. Welcome to the Literary Weapons Podcast. I'm Joshua.
And I'm Liv.
And today we have a very special episode talking about one of my favorite books that Liv just now finished. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Raven just honking down water in the background. Yeah. Sorry.
Don't mind Raven. So, let's go ahead and talk about our wines.
All right, so I have a Sauvignon Blanc, very original. It is called Sunshine Bay, and it's from New Zealand, and it is gross. I'm not going to lie. It tastes like a mixture between, like, citrus juice and, like, a pineapple juice.
There's some apple juice. Apple like juice syrupy in there.
Yeah. I got it from Aldi, you know.
But shout out to Aldi.
Yeah, shout out to Aldi. Love no, you. No, but not your Aldi. Wine.
I am drinking a Pinot Noir called Francophone from the Russian River Valley. I'm going to give it one thumbs up. It's good for, I think it was like a $10 bottle. Mm-hmm. It's a lot better than it should be. If we're doing thumbs up per dollar, it's a really good ratio. So, yeah, this episode is going to be a little bit different. We're just going to give a quick ranking of the three Mistborn books by Brandon Sanderson. And then we're going to give our ratings for the entire series. And then we're going to jump right into spoilers. So, if you have not read these books, this is the disclaimer. Stop what you're doing right now. Open up Amazon or bookshop.org, preferably bookshop.org. Our cat is trying to destroy our blinds right now.
Sick 'em, Ray.
So, yeah, buy books on bookshop.org. They give money to small businesses and independent bookstores, and they're really sweet people. Bookshop.org, if you're listening to this, sponsor us, please. Yeah, so if you've not read these, go read them right now. Okay, what is your rankings of the three books?
So we have the three books. We have Mistborn, The Final Empire, and then the second one is Well of Ascension, and then the third is The Hero of Ages. My all-time favorite is The Hero of Ages. I enjoyed that like nobody's business.
So the finale.
Yes. My second favorite is going to be number one, The Final Empire, and my least favorite is going to be The Well of Ascension.
Okay, so I'm a little bit different. Mm. My number one is the first book, Final Empire.
Okay.
My number two is Hero of Ages, the finale, and number three is the second book. So we'll talk about why in the spoiler section. But let's go ahead and get our for anyone that's not read it, you can still hear this. What rating do you give this series?
Like, if I could give it three thumbs up, I would. But I, unfortunately, only have two hands. So, therefore, I only have two thumbs.
I'll give it two thumbs and two big toes up. Jesus Christ. Anyways, I think these are in my like top three.
Like, I don't know where they fit yet, but they're up there. I think I'm just kind of on like the you know, what do they call it after you read a really good book?
Like the
That's gonna kill me.
Anyways, I know what you mean.
But I still haven't, like, processed it all yet, and I don't know where it fits with my favorites.
So, I read all three in a span of a month because I could not put them down, and I ended up having to pick up a book that was purposely kind of shitty. So, I did not have those expectations going into it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Because, like, I kid you not, I think these are, like, almost perfect. I have a couple complaints. Talk about that spoiler section. So, 2 to 4 thumbs up.
Exactly.
Spoilers from here on out. Just go ahead and get. Because.
Get on.
But yeah, seriously, if you have not read these, go right now and read them. I should not have to like give an explanation on why, because anything that you say about it will be a spoiler. All you need to know is there's a heist in the first book.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into heist and kind of sneaky people and magic, yeah, it's good. So yeah, spoiler alert, get off now. Okay, so why did you rank the three like that?
So, my favorite, The Hero of Ages, that made me tear up.
Okay.
At a couple points.
That's fair.
And I do enjoy a good cry. I mean, you were with me when I finished the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what to do with myself. So, I don't know. I read that one the fastest. I was engaged with it the most. And I felt more connected to the characters, I think, than I had in the previous two. Which, mm-hmm. I mean, that may just be because they've developed as characters and all, but that's why it's my number one. And then Mistborn is my number two. Or rather, I'll say The Well of Ascension is my least favorite because it, honestly, I don't know if it is just my... me not having really an interest in governance, mm-hmm. and like political things that kind of turned me off from it.
Yeah.
And just kind of made me it a hard read. Not a hard read, but like a
slow.
Slow read, exactly. Yeah. So the first one just fits in second place because of that.
So I the speed, like the pace, is my main thing that separates them. I think Final Empire has no slow parts.
Yeah.
It's all gas from like page 10 until the end. There's little to no like, okay, whatever, like this is build up. Like it is like go, 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 go.
Yeah.
A lot happens in book one.
Yes.
In the final book, a lot happens too, but I feel like the beginning, like 50 to 100 pages, is kind of a slow, like, build up.
Yeah, I agree.
But the last, like, 200 pages is, like, a mad dash.
Mm-hmm.
The ending of it almost makes up and makes it first place for me. Like, it's that 1 and 3 are really close.
Mm-hmm.
Well of Ascension, I think it's a lot of setup.
Yes.
But Zane.
Oh, yeah.
Zane.
He's
Yeah. But, like, it's solidly number 3,
mm-hmm.
out of the trilogy.
Yeah. But not that, like, it doesn't make it a bad read.
Oh, no. I still gave it 5 stars.
Yeah, it's fabulous. On Goodreads.
I would still give it 2 thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. But I'd give all of them, I mean, the series 2 thumbs up, but every single one of these books is 2 thumbs up.
Yeah, if the weakest book in the series is a heavy 2 thumbs up, like, if Well of Ascension was by itself, I would still be like, oh my gosh, guys, y'all have got to read this book.
This is a masterpiece.
Yeah, but next to Final Empire and Hero of Ages, I don't know. It's almost like a, like if you have a really bright flashlight and you're like, ah, it's really bright. But then, like, you're next to a bonfire and it kind of overshadows the flashlight.
Mm.
Like, it's still bright, but there's just like,
there's something brighter.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on from the rankings. So we have a number of things that we want to talk about. I have three major points and a bunch of like little side shoots off of those. So you want to start it off? What's something you want to talk about?
Well, I think you should start first because you're going to talk about just the magic system, and that's a good launching off point.
See, I felt like that was like the final hook where it's like, hook? Bam. But I want to hold on to the magic system.
Okay.
I say, let's talk about the world and like kind of how the world works. Then we can do the characters because you have a whole bunch of character stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So my thing about the world is it's kind of short and it kind of bleeds into the vibes of it, but I love how it's a fantasy world where it's like there's magic and there's creatures, but it holds to science and like the laws of physics. Like physics and chemistry and all of that still work.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has made a world where like he obviously is a super super intelligent guy.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Sanderson, to make something that feels so fantastical but also like the leaps of faith almost aren't that big.
Yeah,
like if you can believe that there's such a thing as, you know, these super cool magic systems like the Allomancy, like let's just say You can move metal. Okay. But, like, everything still works.
Mm-hmm.
Like, our... Like, it's... You could just step into their world and it would make sense.
Yeah.
I
agree.
That's one of my favorite things about it. And we can dive into that in the magic system. Tell us about the characters.
Okay. So, heck, I could talk about this, I think, forever. But one of my favorite characters and probably the most beloved of all time,
mm-hmm,
is Sazed. Or
Sazed.
I like Sazed too. I wonder if Brandon Sanderson has ever given a pronunciation for that.
He probably has.
Probably has.
I just didn't look it up.
I haven't either. But if you probably have read it, you know that he's a Terrace Keeper.
Hopefully if you've made it to this point,
yeah, you've read it. And his thing is keeping religions. So learning religions and then storing them in his metals, to then go and teach people about these religions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I think his story about losing his faith and, you know, ends up becoming the hero of ages is probably one of my all-time favorite, like, hero arcs of all time.
Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't seem like he's going to be the hero.
No.
Like, he's solidly coded as, like, the helpful sidekick. Like...
He's Robin.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, so, like, in the... what is it? The hero cycle? No. It's the ancient trope of, like, the hero story.
Yes. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So he is the meeting with the wizard where it's, like, a person that knows of the world and explains it to him and gives them their quest.
Yeah.
I see Sazed as that,
mm-hmm,
through the first 2.5 books.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, wham.
Wham. It happens, like, whiplash. It's insane.
But I feel like it makes sense.
It makes complete sense. Like, absolute sense. It's mind-boggling how I didn't know. I mean, I bet a bunch of people knew when they were reading it.
See, I knew, like, a quarter of the way through the last book. And I was like, the little stories at the beginning?
Yes.
I was like, this sounds like Sazed.
Yes, okay, we were talking about that earlier. I was, mm-hmm, like, when I read the reading... I was like, this doesn't sound like Vin. This doesn't sound like Owen. This doesn't sound like anybody that's alive.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like Sazed. So yeah. Either he survived or he's been writing this whole time, and I have no idea what other reason it would be. But
I think that says a lot about Brandon Sanderson that he can make characters feel so distinct, just in the way that they think and talk.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you can say, like, oh, like, yeah, that has to be this character. Like, there's a lot of good books out there where there's great characters, but they don't feel like they're their own being.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that, like, I love about Mistborn is they all feel like they're real.
Yeah, they do. They each are so... They each have their own individual, like... individual, like, obviously, individual stories. But you don't let go of one character at any point, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
For an extended period. Of course, there's chapters without characters. But, I mean, like, I don't forget about Ham when he's in the caves or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember, he wants to see his wife. Oh! And then he sees his wife at the end with his kids.
Mm-hmm.
That part made me tear up.
Yeah, that was really sweet.
That was really sweet. But, no, Brandon does just a really freaking awesome job. We're on
first-name basis now?
Well, Brandon. It's like Sarah J. Maas. Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to call them by their full name.
Mr. Sanderson.
Mr. Sanderson.
That sounds like The Matrix. Mr. Anyways.
But, yeah, so he does a great job at character building, and I think that's one of my favorite topics, besides, like, the different themes that he kind of sticks with throughout the entire thing. So, yeah.
Speaking of character building, I think you and I are going to have the same opinion on this. Do you think the Lord Ruler was a bad guy?
No, I don't.
So, I don't either, because from his point of view, he did the best that he could.
Yep.
And Vin even kind of acknowledges that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the horrible things that he did make sense when you know about Ruin.
Yeah, one of the themes in, I think, like, what he was trying to get across is, like, what you don't know won't hurt you,
mm-hmm.
or can't hurt you. And I feel like that was a big, like, leading point of why the Lord Ruler did what he did.
Well, yeah, because he was protecting people from the weight of knowledge.
Yes.
Like, the reason why he was so twisted is because he was one of the only people to know that Ruin existed.
Yeah.
And the evil that Ruin was enacting.
Yeah.
And not evil, I guess. I don't know, because, like, that's the thing is, like, the amoral aspect of Ruin and preservation.
Yeah. It's just, like, inherently, like, what and who they are.
Mm-hmm. It's not that Ruin was evil or mean. It's just that things decay and die.
Yeah.
So is death, you know, is death a villain?
Is death evil for being natural, kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's also interesting because he has personality. Or mm-hmm. they end up, because Vin's like, you don't even have, like, the right to be called a he, to be humanized,
mm-hmm.
which I love.
But now, I do like that the god of death and decay, Ruin, is not evil.
Yeah.
But Straff Venture.
Oh, he's a
yeah
bad word. Bad word, bad word, bad word.
See you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday. Yes, he is. I hate him.
Yeah, he's literally the worst. Like, he's the villain.
He is.
Like, he is the...
Him and the guy, Yates, the guy that brought the Coloss, right? Is it Yates?
Oh, Ellen's little friend?
Yes.
The one that was like when they had everything, he was like, oh yeah, like, we need to free the Ska... And, like, we need to be, like, better as nobles.
Yes.
And then as soon as he loses his place of power, he's like, fuck them. I'm going to kill all of them.
Yeah.
Like, get the dirty little...
And then he's like, no, Ellen, I'm sorry. And then Ellen says,
wachow. Yeah, he is, like, virtue signaling to a T.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, it's like... When you have all of the money in the world, and you're like, oh yeah, let's help people, as soon as stuff goes bad for you, like get the dirty mongrels away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're like, I don't know, it shows like the like humanity. We're like, we are our own like demons, basically.
Yeah. That's deep.
Yeah.
Okay. Next.
So I have a comparison to make, and this is,
I'm scared.
This might make you upset. So I love Ellen and Vin as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
They are the greatest. Just, ugh.
I'm scared. I'm so scared.
It's Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, God. Oh, heavens.
It is.
Yeah.
It's Lady and the Tramp.
But except Vin's the Tramp.
Yeah, she's the little gutter rat.
Yeah, she is.
That actually, so I had a thought. I gotta turn a few pages in my notes. This whole thing kind of plays like a twisted Disney movie. Speaking of Lady and the Tramp. So, follow me here. Ellen and Vin, the little, like, princess and the prince.
That's like, it's Cinderella. That's what it is.
It's Cinderella. There's a talking dog that's Vin's best friend. And the whole little transformation scene of Vin turning from a gutter rat to basically, like, a princess.
Mm-hmm.
That's Disney movie.
Yeah.
It's a Disney.
Good try, hun.
It is.
Uh-huh.
It's a Disney movie. If you subtract out all of, like,
Ham's, like, the, if Ham had a crush on Vin, he'd be, like, the hunk trying to steal the lady.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
But he's married with wife and children, so.
And Kelsey is basically like in every Disney movie, the parents die.
Oh, Jesus, Josh. That's so sad. Okay.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Thank you.
Also, this is totally unrelated, but have you seen Daredevil?
No.
Okay. Well, Spook turns into Daredevil, where he's, like, blind, but his other senses are, like, he's, like,
leading him, yeah.
Yeah. And he's, like, a super fighter guy, because he's walking around based on, like, sound and smell.
Uh-huh.
He's basically, like, Batman. Like, since he can't go out during the day because of the light.
Uh-huh.
He's just in the nighttime, like, sneaking around.
I'm Batman.
Vengeance!
Okie dokie. Yeah, okay. I get what you're putting out. I get it. Mm-hmm.
One page notes. Done.
Uh-huh.
So, I say, do you want to, like, hold off on vibes until the end?
Yeah.
Themes and vibes? So, we can talk about magic.
Let's talk about magic.
So, this is what gets me fired up about this series. I love the hard magic system where you understand exactly how everything works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes the story so much better for it.
Yep.
So, the allomancy, where you innately have the ability to burn metals. Furukimi, using metal.
Furukimi. That's
so
how I say it.
Okay, but so I love. Goodness gracious, the animals are freaking out.
We gave Binks calming bite treats.
I don't think they work.
I don't think so either.
So I love how. Well, actually, and then hemallergy, metals being pierced in the body to imbue their properties. So the thing I love is that each metal carries similar properties across all three all three magic systems. Mm-hmm. They do the same thing. And each one exactly defines, like, the stamina of the user.
Yep.
Or, like, how much magic they have. So, like, in Harry Potter, when it's like, no, don't try it. Why? Like, you can do anything in Harry Potter.
Don't but it's, slander.
I'm sorry.
Harry Potter.
But, you know, it's kind of like, it's the most powerful wand effort to be made. All Harry's going to do with it is stupefy, so who the hell cares?
It's Expelliarmus.
Expelliarmus. But so, like, with Allomancy, the amount of stuff that you can do is determined by how much of the metal that you have in your system.
Yep.
Makes total sense. Like, you can tell when you're running low, certain things, like the pushes and pulls, burn certain amounts, like, depending on the mass of the object. Mm-hmm. Because you have to exert a certain force. And so you're imbuing an acceleration on that mass. And that acceleration is directly proportional to the energy entered into the system.
I understand those words.
But so they're using, like, it's a propulsion problem from, like, some of my classes before, where, like, and the deal is that certain users of the magic are more efficient with that usage.
Yeah.
But I love it. The Furukami.
Furukami. That's what I call it. Furukami.
So I love that you can store anything. Mm-hmm. Like weight. Wakefulness. But the trade-off of, oh, you know, if you store weight, you're going to be lighter while you're storing it.
Yeah.
And I love how it's a system of, like, uneven exchange. So, I like it because it follows the laws of, like, conservation of energy, where you can't get more out of it than what you put in. Mm-hmm. I think that can be said for all of them.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do more. Like, there's no mystical energy source. Like, it is exactly defined. There's, you know, if you have 2 grams of pewter in your body, you can only do 2 grams of pewter worth of strength.
Yeah, and it makes sense in the very end, like, you know, how we thought that Vin was, you know, somehow stronger mm-hmm. than other Mistborns. Turns out, no, she had an earring in and was being used by the...
Ruin.
Yeah, Ruin the whole time. Through the Himalargy.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense, like, in the end of the day, it's like, no, she wasn't mystically stronger as the Hero of Ages, because she ended up not being the Hero of Ages, which was...
That was a shock.
That was a shock. But at the same time, I'm like, there's a lot of talk about her being the Hero of Ages, so, like...
Mm-hmm. Chosen One trope?
Yep. So, like, when you finish it, you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. So it's mm-hmm. like... Even though you go through the book being like, okay, this doesn't make quite sense why she has, like, more power, why she can, like, get through copper clouds or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
It all makes sense.
Yeah, it all works. And so I would also say that with the twists throughout the series, like, yeah. every twist... It's out of the blue, but it's not like a twist just for being a twist, you know?
Ray.
Raven, you're going to get the cup stuck on your head.
She did.
It is. Raven currently has a cup of cereal stuck on her face.
Anyways. Oh, Lordy.
So, I love... Okay, actually, this... I think this is really cool. That with the hemallergy, like, using the spikes, how the Lord Ruler, going into Lord Ruler not being that bad, the Lord Ruler used the hemallergy, which is kind of like more like ruins, like magic system.
Yeah.
Because Allomancy and Ferrucamy are more closely tied to preservation, you would say?
I think so, yeah.
So, Lord Ruler took hemallergy and created three new species. And, like, he took something of the enemy and turned it into something that ended up being, like, part of the reason why humanity, or, like, this planet was saved.
Yep.
And I don't know, I really don't think he was that bad of a guy.
I mean...
He did horrible things.
But he was not... I mean, he was saving mankind and humanity in the hopes that one day... Sazed would come along.
Yeah.
Because he was a terrorist. He had, you know...
Mm-hmm.
The Hero of Ages has been prophesied to him, and, like, he's expecting that to happen. Doesn't know when, so it's like he's just going to do what he's doing until he gets killed.
Mm-hmm.
Or dies, or I don't know. I don't know. Part of me is like, oh my gosh, I hate for what he did, but like 1,000 years of order, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's...
But it was 1,000 years in order for... So he did all of that just to stall for the Well of Ascension.
So I feel like when he died and, you know, he told Vin, like, you've doomed us all or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was out of fear, mainly.
Well, because he thought that she was going to do what she did and she was going to release the power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what Ruin made the myth to be.
Mm-hmm. So all he could do is hope that what he did with, you know, the caves and creating... the Mistress and the Chondra and the Kloss, like, all he could do was hope, which is really sad.
Also, I kind of hate it that Vin, I mean, I love it too, but, like, that Vin was so determined to be the hero that she was going to let Ellen die.
Yeah, that's... They weren't married at the time, were they?
No.
No, okay.
They didn't get married until the third book.
Okay. Still? Damn.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do that to you, darling.
I don't know if I could do that to you either. That would be rough.
That's sad.
That would be a big toughie.
Mm-hmm. So, I have one more thing to say about the magic system, and then we can go on to vibes. But, one of my favorite things... is that you can, an Allomancer can pick up the metals through trace minerals through food and water.
That's pretty sick.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
But, you know, the one thing that I have with this is how did the people who became Allomancers, you know, in the end when the mist started, is it called? Snapping them or whatever. How did they not... No. How did they not know and figure out that they were Allomancers?
Well, Vin didn't figure it out.
For a long time, I know.
She had it for, what, years, and then Kelsier told her?
Yeah. So it's like, I just, oh, that's the one thing that's like, I wish they would have known sooner. But of course, like, plot, so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, if you don't know to burn the metal inside of you.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah, like, if all you knew is that, damn, I was really sick for, like, a few weeks.
So we're 15 other people.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I get what you're coming from.
Yeah.
But also, like, Vin just thought she was lucky, so.
That'd be true.
Yeah.
That'd be true.
So you want to talk about themes and vibes?
Yeah. So, we kind of touched on it a little bit. But, there's a big theme of, you know, are people good or are they bad? And, like, I don't think people are truly bad or truly good.
Mm-hmm. Even Straff Venture?
I mean, I want to wring his neck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But he was a child once, you know? Like, it's so tough. But at the same time, you can label people as good and bad and say that, you know, bad people do good things and good people do bad things. But they're all just labels. I mean, they're all just, you know, how we understand reality to be and how we determine who to trust, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's very tricky, but...
Is Breeze a hopeless romantic, or is he truly a womanizer?
Oh, he... I feel like near the end, he's a simp. Yes. Or what the kids call it these days, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But it's so sweet.
It is really sweet.
Even though she's a younger woman.
Yeah. It's fine. It is what it is. It was consensual.
They didn't give ages, did they?
No. It was... Breeze was probably, like... I always saw Breeze in his, like, mid-40s.
Yeah.
And then Adriella, yeah, or whatever. She was... Early 20s.
I'm saying 22.
Yeah, okay.
She gives solid, like, 22 vibes.
She gives, like... I don't know. Like, mean college girl vibes.
No, she wasn't mean.
Not mean, but, like... Not mean. I'm sorry. That was the wrong word. Like, knows what she wants. College girl. Very confident, and it kind of turns people off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She definitely brings shooters to the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really big theme throughout the book. Just kind of leaving you to question,
mm-hmm,
what you think about the characters and really just about their decisions and their humanity. But on to another theme. Which is noted in the book multiple times, but consequences. Mm. I mean, what's his face?
What's his face?
Kelsier, whatever. I mean, he stated it himself that Alomancy is based off of consequences. Your consequences have, you know...
Consequences?
Consequences. Your actions have consequences.
See, I have a hot take. I think Kelsier is kind of an asshole.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so here. Book one, you see him through a very romanticized point of view because it's through Vince. It's through
But
her,
also, that's that was
like,
his whole...
Like, coming of age.
That was his whole point.
Yeah, I know, it was.
He but wanted then, to be the martyr.
But then you see it through a realistic point of view, mm-hmm, on book two and three, and you're like, okay.
Well, you see the man.
Yes.
You see, like, book one is his public image,
mm-hmm,
and then you see the dirty reality of man in books two and three.
Yes, I agree.
But so I think there's a big parallel between him and the Lord Ruler.
I was about to say that.
Where I think they're opposites, where in public, Kelsier was like...
This real great guy.
Yeah, he was like
helper.
Perfect person. And then in reality, he was kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Whereas the Lord Ruler in public was a monster. And then in private, he was saving humanity for 1,000 years.
And probably like crying himself to sleep every night, because that's what I would do if I was the Lord Ruler.
Well, I think you kind of see that when Vin confronts him in the little cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees him from his past and where he is now.
Yeah.
I think you see how much his decisions have destroyed him.
Oh, yeah.
Even though they're for the good of the world, it's completely torn him apart.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, rightly so.
Because he's not a god. Like, that's... Yeah. That's... He's a human.
So, he is the epitome of having to live with your consequences.
Yes. But...
Kelsier never had to.
Another thing is just, like, the power itself. Like, taking the Well of Ascension, the power...
Mm-hmm.
Moving the worlds around had consequences, and then you had to, you know, change the way humans can breathe in the ash, because the ash mounds had to be created because he brought the world too close, you know, in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, like, the whole, I want to say, like, the whole war in the whole the upbringing, like the just the freaking up the Lord Ruler's rule, that had a big consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And that was them not really being ready to establish government, and it took them trial after trial to figure out how to make it work.
Well, yeah, because I mean, Elend is the epitome of like a political science major, like, just hanging out, drinking some whiskey, being like, man, we should fix this government.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden you hand him all of the power and say, okay, fix it. And, you know.
He tried to do it, like, the moral way first.
Yeah.
Of course. And then, you see that.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, he's trying to make the perfect government without understanding humans.
Yeah.
Because all he's ever dealt with is people being nice to his face. Because if not, his dad is there.
Yeah.
He never had to, like, accept humanity for what it is.
Yeah.
And so he didn't take that into account when he made his government.
Yeah, he didn't. So yeah, consequences, I think, are, like, if you reread it and have, like, that in mind, I saw it everywhere. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think I read something after I read the first book, and it was about consequences, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna see this everywhere now in his writing. But the third theme that I want to talk about is just the competition between having faith and doubt, which is just, it's tough. You know, because when mm-hmm. Sazed got, like, big sad after Twendolyn
for
died.
For, like, a book and a half.
Yeah, that's so depressing to me when he lost his faith, like, completely.
Mm-hmm. When he had the most faith.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I agree with what he says, because there was something I remember vaguely where he was, like, he had the most insidious form of faith. Where he had all of these religions memorized, but he didn't believe in any of them, like, totally. Truly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he was sharing it to people, and, anyways, I just love that he decided to, like, he realized that faith isn't about seeing or concrete things.
Mm-hmm. It's not about getting the proof.
Yes. And so when he had faith in Vin, you know, that Vin was going to be the Hero of Ages, I think that was a really sweet moment.
Mm-hmm.
To see his doubt just go out the door. Another way I see that is through Vin in the Mist. Her curiosity towards it becomes a sort of trust and faith in something that she can't rationalize mm-hmm. with, you know? And, you know...
Till the ghost.
You know, she trusted the Mist to be her protector, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason, you know? She didn't have a reason to feel that way. Just by being in it, it made her feel like she could have faith in it. And I think that's really pretty. So, yeah. I think that's all I had on that.
So, I have a few. And I love how... So, we do our notes independently. And I love how there's very little crossover between them. So, my, like... I want to talk about a few small ones. And then I have my, like, my big one. Mm. So... I think one of the themes or vibes, it's very anime style action. Like there's these big flashy like power up moments where like, you know, Vin gets the power of the mist and she's like, I unleash mist power.
Yes, it is. I will admit. It is. But
Vin is like,
but I didn't see it that way. But like if I reread it with that in mind, yes, I can see that.
I didn't read it that way. But after watching anime, it's like that.
Yeah.
And I do know that there are some like some anime and manga references. I know like the cover of book 2 is a reference to Berserk. Which is really cool. But, anyways, so I love the Found Family.
Yeah, like, that's sweet.
The whole crew.
That's her family.
Yeah. That was really touching.
Yes, it is.
I love how, like, history in and of itself, even though Sazed is supposed to be, like, the bastion of truth. Like, his word is what happened. And any of the world bringers, like, their memories and their copper mines are supposed to tell humanity of the past so we don't lose it. The thing is, Ruin
is a little bitch.
Yeah. He could change all of it. So he shaped, like, their perception of history. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool, like, throughout. Like, once you know about Ruin and his deal, you can see his hand in almost every single thing that happened.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, he was the puppet master.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I love that, because, like, the whole thing about the earring.
Yeah.
Oof. Where Vin's like, I can only take a couple of things with me. I might as well grab the earring. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't,
like... Like, you didn't like your mom.
Yeah.
Enough to take that.
Yeah, she's like, I hate all this stuff, you know, but I might as well take the earring. Like, I can't forget that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I might as well just put it in, you know, like...
Oh, I'm gonna take it out. Let me draw upon the mist. Oh, shit, I can't. Puts earring in. Draws upon the mist.
I thought it was the opposite. Works.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Opposite.
Yeah. I love that Ruin, even though you don't meet him till what, like, middle of the third book?
Yes. Funny fact, Josh, I was halfway through book 2, and you said, have you met Ruin in Preservation yet? And I said, huh? What? No?
I thought it was the second book.
And I was like, hold on. So the second half of the second book I read knowing that there's supposed to be something called Ruin and Preservation. I was just waiting for it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that, dear.
Of course, darling. So the last thing I want to talk about, and this is one of my favorite things about Mistborn. And so this is a minor spoiler for Stormlight Archive.
I haven't read that.
I know this isn't like a, this is nothing.
Okay.
So in the Stormlight Archive, like, there's a lot of things like Ruin and Preservation.
Okay.
Like, it's not just two of them. There's a whole bunch of them.
Gotcha. Fun.
So, from what I've gathered, these ruin and preservation came to this planet and none of the other things joined them.
Okay.
But it just so happened that it was the two opposites. Which brings me to the
point... Consequences.
Sorry. No. This brings me to the point of Mistborn trilogy is littered with polar opposites.
Oh, heck yeah.
Like, pushing and pulling is a major theme. Like, give and return with the Ferrochemy. Life and death. All that normal stuff. Preservation and ruin. Yin and yang. They're opposites, but Sazed brings them together into one in harmony. Also, the Ska and the Nobles. They're opposites. The Chondra?
Yeah.
The Chondra and the Inquisitors, I would say, are opposites.
Yep.
But then there's also, like, the distance to the sun thing, where, you know, the Lord Ruler pushes them further, like, closer to the sun, and then Ven pulls them further away, and then pushes them back. And it's all this stuff on the cosmic scale. But at the end of the day, it's just opposites.
I think it's cute because, like, I mean, opposites, outcasts, abnormals, like, the whole crew is kind of built with outcasts. And I think that kind of ties in with the whole, you know, apart.
I agree with that. Along with the opposites, I think that the point of the story is finding the middle ground between the opposites.
Yeah.
It's finding the middle ground between having the Ska rule over the nobles and the nobles ruling over the Ska. It's having them work together. You know, you can't have just preservation. You can't have just ruin. You have to be somewhere in between. You can't be right up close to the sun. You can't be super far away. You have to be in what they call the Goldilocks zone, which is where Earth is. But it's all about compromise. And I think that is one reason why I really like the second book with the politics, because it's all about forcing Ellen to find that compromise. And then he realizes that compromise at that time is not possible. He has to take charge.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I love like the, it's not good versus evil. It's just one side versus the other. I don't know. It makes me happy. So, but the thing I was going to say about the Stormlight Archive. So, ruin and preservation. Like, they're in control of this planet, basically, like, as the deities, right? So, in the Stormlight Archive, they're basically, like, brethren and sisters are all over the place. And so, I am not far enough into the Stormlight Archive to completely understand it, but the little pieces that I get are really freaking cool with what it means for Mistborn. But yeah, I don't know.
It leaves you with so many questions more than answered questions. You know,
and that's why you have to keep reading Brandon Sanderson.
That's why you have to keep reading his books, because apparently he's the best.
Everything matters.
Which I believe, truly. So it's up there on my list. Like, it is really far up there.
I mean, it makes you, like, terribly sad, but then also, like, hopeful, happy. You know, it makes you get up on your feet and cheer.
Like, surprised, but also disappointed.
Yeah. Like,
it's...
It has everything.
Really has everything
except for spice.
Yeah, it is a very next morning they wake up, mm-hmm. which I don't mind. I mean, the romance is beautiful the way he writes it.
I feel like it like without the spice, it leaves the like the purity of their relationship.
Yes.
Like it just makes them like just like little like cute
married couple.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon Sanderson he's a Mormon.
Yeah.
So it makes sense, you know, to keep it PG.
But the rest of it's not PG.
Well, yeah, that's true. There's no cursing.
Lord Ruler. So that's one thing, like reading his other books, he comes up with certain words that equate out to like curse words, and it's really fun to read a book by him and then just see like made up curse words. But I love it.
God bless Brandon Sanderson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all we have.
Yeah, that's it. I want to reread them now. But actually, I want to finish the Cosmere.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back around.
We'll circle back.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I need a moment to digest. Currently, I'm listening to an audiobook of Little Women and reading The Fourth Wing's second book in the series.
Mm-hmm.
To give me a little bit of a cleanse.
Yeah, actually,
hopefully something different.
Mm-hmm.
Something a little less intellectual.
Yeah.
On the Fourth Wing side.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to reread it. It might be a while, but
yeah.
It's just so good.
If you haven't read it, read it. I really hope you have if you're still listening.
Yeah. If you've sat through all of this, you should still read it. It's really good.
You'll just not be shocked by anything.
Yeah, we left a few twists out.
Oh yeah, we did.
Not many.
All right, okay. You guys.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.